We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have very special guests. We have from the Striking Gold Podcast, Rob Lauder and Kyle Posey, KP, stops by to talk about the 49ers and the week one matchup between the Lions and the 49ers in this collaboration episode with the Pride Podcast and the Striking Gold Podcast, all on episode 191 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penae Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down, Detroit Lions. T.J. Hockenson, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast and the Striking Gold Podcast on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, and before we have a bunch of confusion for Lions fans, we got a bunch of confusion for 49ers fans. 49ers fans right now are like, who the hell is Tyler, and why is he speaking on my feed right now? Because they don't know who this voice is right now. So we are doing a collaborative podcast. I can't even speak right now. Both Blue Wire podcasts, Lions, Niners, week one. We are less than 4 days from week one of the NFL season officially being here, where the Lions and Niners will square off at Ford Field for the official start of the 2021 season. And obviously, since our last breakdown for Lions fans, a lot has changed. You know, we got a whole new regime coming in. We have a whole new quarterback. We damn near have a whole new team here, representing the Detroit Lions now. And as far as the San Francisco 49ers, obviously these guys are going to know a lot more than I will. But they got a new quarterback, which they drafted with the third overall pick, who was my favorite quarterback prospect in this whole draft, Trey Lance. We'll get into him, obviously, when we start talking about the San Francisco 49ers offense. But just a lot to get into. So, you know, with that being said, Malcolm, Pierre, my boys, how are you boys doing today?
Woo!
Man, I'm excited. Football's on Sunday. We're going to be at Ford Field, so I'm excited.
Yes, sir. Yeah, me and Pierre will be at Ford Field representing the Lions week one. New start of the new Lions era of Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. I'm excited. But now for our Niners friends, Rob, KP, not Kristaps Porzingis, Kyle Posey. How are you boys doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing well, man. Just excited for football. You know, by the time you guys are listening to this, it's going to be time for the week one, Dallas and Tampa Bay. I'm excited for that game, obviously. We got a lot to break down, so let's get into it. We're going to start off with the Detroit Lions offense versus this San Francisco 49ers defense, which we know this San Francisco 49ers defense is a really good defense. Obviously, their defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, was my favorite candidate in the offseason. He got another head coaching job, not in Detroit, but with the Jets. So, obviously, what he was doing was, you know, good enough to get a head coaching job. And, you know, it's got a big say in the NFL right now. So, you know, with that being said, let's start off with the injury report. So we'll start off with the Niners injury report. Rob, KP, whoever wants to take over this, you know, what's the Niners injury report looking for, you know, on Wednesday?
Well, it's tough to say how serious it is right now. I mean, I'll just go through the players. You got Kevin Givens, who is a defensive tackle, just one of the 49ers, just part of that insane depth. He's a guy that can make plays, but he's definitely not a starter. Jalen Hurd, who was a former third round pick that has never seen the field for the 49ers, two consecutive season ending injuries. He's still trying to rehabilitate his knee. Apparently it's still giving him problems. Javon Kinlaw, that's a big one. Didn't seem like Kyle Shanahan was too concerned, but that's pretty much the diesel engine at the center of the defense. He's essentially the guy that they picked to replace DeForest Buckner when they traded him away. So that's a big deal that he's not playing, but it's kind of just, it seems like they've been really careful with him all offseason. To me, and KP, you could tell me how you feel about this. To me, the biggest injury on that list is cornerback Emmanuel Mosley being out with a knee injury. Because if there's one position group for the 49ers that can't really take a hit, it's corner. So I don't know. What are your thoughts? And then obviously you have Trey Lance, who's kind of coming back from, a slightly chipped finger, which not too big a deal, but I don't know, KP, what are your thoughts on that, on that injury report and what it means for the game?
Yeah, I think Lance is going to be fine. He was throwing today in practice. Some of the beat reporters who were on hand said, it has to be Mosley though, right? Just because you mentioned, like, they drafted two cornerbacks, but both of them were on day three of the draft. And with Mosley, he already had a hamstring strain during training camp. And now it's not even that. It's a knee injury. So it's been a couple separate injuries, and we haven't even got to a real game yet. So it's definitely concerning knowing that Jason Verrett, the other starter, has an injury history too. So if anything happens to either of those two, you're relying on, you know, day three rookies who you didn't expect to play right away or didn't expect to play on day one. And to replace them is Josh Norman, who is like 45 years old and hasn't played at a high level. Let's be honest. People, when you see these big names, you instantly think of when they were like at their peak, when they're at,
sure.
Like, he was an all pro in 2015. Like, why are we even talking about this right now?
At that cornerback position too, which is, you decline very quickly at that cornerback position. Especially, as Malcolm says, when you hit 29, 30,
get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
Trade them, cut them, do something.
Father time, he will get you no matter what when you hit that 30-year-old mark. So, yeah, it's definitely concerning, but we will talk about the team that they are playing and will their receivers be able to take advantage.
Well, I think these guys get a little spoiled too. You know, we mentioned when our corners get 30, because we were in a regime that was just so heavily in man coverage. Like, if we had Richard Sherman as one of our corners in a Matt Patricia scheme, he would look like burnt toast. He would look like washed. Looks like he wouldn't even belong to the league. But Richard Sherman and Robert Saleh defense, where, you know, you're not relying on him to be a man coverage guy all the time, it looks a lot better. It's a lot better product on the, you know, the field. So, you know, for us Lions fans, once you hit 28 or above as a corner, especially in the Patricia regime, you're out. You're out the doors because you're not gonna be fast enough to
continue. Is the man coverage something that's gonna stick with Anthony Lynn? I don't know what his kind of mantra is, or Campbell really.
They play more like two safeties high, split safety coverage. So you'll see cover two, you'll see two man, occasionally some cover three, cover. They do a little of everything.
Just going quickly to the Lions injury report, because this is a lot more quicker. Not really many concerning ones. No, everyone participated in the practice in somewhat capacity. So our limited ones, we had Decker starting left tackle, Michael Brockers starting defensive tackle. You got Onzerike, A.J. Parker, Nick Williams. I'd probably say the most concerning one on this list is Michael Brockers, just because he hasn't really done much as far as training camp and preseason. But Dan Campbell on a radio appearance yesterday on Tuesday confirmed that both Brockers and DeAndre Swift will be good to go for week one versus the Niners. So, you know, if we didn't hear that report from Campbell, I would say Brockers is concerning. But it seems like everyone should probably be playing from this injury report. No, nothing concerning right now, at least. So, you know, I would say there's nothing really to keep tabs for this week, because usually there is someone to keep a tab for to see what the designation's for, but I expect all these guys to honestly be playing week one for the Lions. So, okay.
Real quick, Rob, yeah. How often can we say that? Where, oh, we can just expect everybody on the 49ers to play.
Well, this is our first time in a while.
Yeah, this is our first time saying that. Yeah. So I can tell
We're already past that, man. We're in week one, and we still don't even think everybody's playing. So yeah. I think the 49ers, I just read it today, and I can't remember where I'm reading it because I don't, and I would like to shout them out, but there's a site that keeps track of the total number of days missed of all your players. And I think the 49ers added up to 160 last year. And I think the nearest next NFL team was like 120. I can't remember who it was, but there's a good chance it could have. But so yeah, it's really hard for us to think that something doesn't look at least remotely positive after how bad it looked all last season. Yeah. So, you know, everything, I guess, is, you know, you got to bring it with some context and compare it, because the 49ers are just, they're not the team when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So, like we mentioned, we're going to start off with this Lions offense versus this San Francisco 49ers defense, kind of some game plans for both sides. I mean, you guys look at this Lions offense really quickly, and you guys see your strengths on, you know, your defense. What's something, a strength that you see for your Niners defense that it's just going to be really hard for the Lions to get going on week one?
KP, you know what to say, bro.
So, the 49ers, just this last few seasons, they own Jared Goff. And it's mostly just because how they get after him. So when we talk about Robert Saleh, a lot of people thought that, you know, he's this passive type of coordinator who doesn't really blitz, but he emptied the clip when it came to third down. Like, only two other teams blitz more than the 49ers on third downs. And Goff's numbers on third downs, or just against the blitz, were not good. And against the 49ers were worse than not good. His passer rating just fell off a cliff against the blitz against the 49ers. So we're going to see, and we are going to see a healthy version of the 49ers defensive line. So you're going to get a fresh D Ford. You're going to get a fresh Nick Bosa. And then obviously you have Javon Kinlaw, who's going to play, Eric Armstead. They have a bunch of other guys that they really rely on. So even when the starters are gassed, they can bring in some quality players like Arden Key. It won't be Maurice Hurst this week, but they have some guys who could probably start on some other teams in the NFL. And I mean, we saw it in the preseason. They got after it pretty good, and I think we're going to see a lot of the same this week, where we're going to see D'Amico Ryans blitz heavily, especially on third downs, and all that does is give a guy like Nick Bosa one-on-one, or perhaps, you know, your running back or your linebacker blitzing, whoever it is, gets one-on-ones with the running back, and that's how they get home, and that's how they get sacked. So expect a lot of pressure from the 49ers defense.
I think that would probably – I think that's even magnified if the 49ers are the least bit worried about their cornerback situation. So if that's the case, if you got a rookie out there or an old ass Josh Norman, like they're going to know that the defensive front has to get home. And the 49ers kept 10 defensive linemen, all of which could start for depending on the NFL team. They're all really good. The 49ers were getting like trade offers for some of the guys at the back of the defensive line roster. So if you're really talking a strength of the defense, the home, the make everything go, it's definitely the defensive line. And obviously you've got like Fred Warner back there, who's the quarterback who makes everything go, might be the best in the league at that position. He's up there. Obviously you can't necessarily leave him out of the conversation. But to me, it's all going to go through that defensive front all season.
Okay. I mean, obviously, going into the season for the Lions, I would say our biggest strength that we've, you know, looked at is the offensive line. Obviously, a lot of emphasis on that offensive line, using the first round pick, which was the 7th overall pick, on Penei Sewell to, you know, lock up that right tackle spot. And then obviously they lock up Frank Ragnow to a long-term contract this offseason. Taylor Decker, their left tackle, locked up to a contract last year. And, you know, those guys have been really good for the team. And Jonah Jackson, another solid rotation, you know, another solid starter for this team at left guard. And then you got Big V at right guard right now. But, you know, I'm going to kick it off to you, Malcolm. You know, you look at this Niners defensive line and you look at this Lions offensive line, it's going to be a dogfight between these trenches because it's one of our strengths. It's obviously one of their strengths in San Francisco. How do you view this, you know, matchup for both sides?
I mean, it's going to be a tough matchup. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for – and when I say tough matchup, I'm talking about for us, the Lions. Yeah. Because the San Francisco, their front seven is really, really, really tough. So if I was, if I was Dan Campbell, I'm looking at the San Francisco team, and I'm going to use my tight ends to help this offensive line a lot. And I'm talking about a lot of 12 personnel sets just to help them out because – they're going to bring pressure, just like KP said. They're going to bring a lot of pressure, and I want to see how Detroit's going to counter that pressure. How they're going to adjust, you know, because it's going to come. They know it's going to come. So I want to see how they're going to adjust to that and how they're going to counter that.
And I don't think, you know, the Lions is going to be afraid to have extra protection. Obviously, Dan Campbell, being a former tight end himself, being a tight ends coach in New Orleans, like, he's all about getting the run game going. Anthony Lynn, former running backs coach in Buffalo, OC, always getting the run game going. So I don't think the Lions will have a problem going to a 12 personnel, especially when you got a front like this in San Francisco. And, you know, frankly, the offensive line, like, yeah, there are a lot of, you know, same names like Jonah, Big V, Taylor, and Frank, obviously, but a lot of moving pieces and a lot of new pieces playing together. And it might be a little bit of an adjustment for this Lions offensive line to kind of gel together. Obviously, starting with Penei Sewell, you know, the right tackle. This is his first time ever playing right tackle. Was a left tackle in college and obviously opted out of his college season last year in 2020 and, you know, had his ups and downs during the preseason. It's going to be a growing pains type of season, I think, for Penei Sewell. You just kind of want to see progression. But, you know, it's a tough test. It's a tough task for Penei Sewell. You know, week one, you're asking to go against potentially Nick Bosa or Eric Armstead. Like, they're going to have so many different looks. It's going to be interesting. So, yeah, I mean, Penei Sewell's got a test definitely week one, you know, to start his NFL career.
Definitely.
The one thing I would say, though, is that the 49ers defensive front, it looks good on paper, but there's still a lot of question marks there. You know, Nick Bosa's coming back from a season-ending injury. We don't know how fresh he is. Trent Williams, I mean, one of the best in the game, was like, no, like, he basically said, he's like, I'm not a believer in the whole coming back from injury better thing. But I went against Nick Bosa before, and I went against him after, and he said it was pretty ridiculous, which doesn't make any sense. But that being said, if you see Nick Bosa in person, there's nothing about that guy that makes any sense. He's just he looks like he looks like a G.I. Joe action figure. But so my point being, though, you have Samson Ebukam, who they picked up from the Rams, who looks kind of the part. You know, he might be somebody with some untapped potential, but you don't know what he's going to give you. Dee Ford, also coming back from essentially a season-ending back injury. You don't know what he's going to give you. It has the look of something vicious on paper. Javon Kinlaw, currently on the injury report. So I still think it's going to be a dogfight no matter what, but I wouldn't say it's a lock to just be, you know, a top five unit in the NFL. They have to kind of put everything together and stay healthy.
Detroit Lions football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Detroit Lions tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charges, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all the NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you find a better price for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. So if you're like Tyler and Pierre and you're excited about this upcoming 49ers game at Ford Field, then TickPick has you covered. Visit TickPick.com/PridePodcast today and use promo code PridePodcast to save $10 on your first order of your Detroit Lions tickets.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let me ask you a question. Who is taking, if Kinlaw cannot go, who's taking his spot? And is that a concern for you guys if he's not able to go Sunday?
What do you think? It was Givens. Just during training camp, it was Givens who was the next guy up, Kevin Givens. But he is out with a hip injury right now. So I imagine after that, it would have been Maurice Hurst. But he has a high ankle sprain, and he's not playing either. So
we're already getting started.
Wow. The 49ers, baby. I imagine they'll just throw somebody out there. But what really would matter would be when they go to, you know, obvious passing down. So they would just kick Eric Armstead inside and bring in another guy like Ford or Arden Key and let them play on the edge. So Eric Armstead practices with the defensive tackles in like individual periods. So they view him as a DT. So I would imagine they would just find a way to get their best guys on the field.
So is he playing on the edge because he's like one of the best at setting the edge versus the other guys? Like versus Samson and Ford?
Yeah, so he would start on the edge, and it would be, I mean, Bosa on the other side, obviously. But this scenario, I would imagine it would go Bosa and Ebukam on the edge because Ebukam does play the run very well. And then they would kick Armstead inside with DJ Jones on the inside as well.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, I mean, you look at these Lions receivers, you mentioned Jared Goff. What kind of looks do you imagine to see mostly on this defense? You imagine stacked boxes with this, you know, what you guys are going to be running on defense, or what are you kind of expecting this week?
Go for it, KP.
Yeah, I think just as I mentioned, they're gonna bring the house. They're going to load up the box and present a look like they're going to blitz, and they might not bring, you know, they might not bring more than four. They're going to let their linebackers run underneath some underneath routes and, you know, again, present the illusion like they're coming only to trap Goff into throwing some hot throws and maybe make a mistake. So I could see a lot of that. I imagine they're just going to load up the front and force Goff to beat them outside of the numbers, which, again, like when Rob talked about the defensive line being in question, like there's an opportunity if the receivers can win, if the Lions receivers can win one-on-one, like they'll have opportunities this game, I imagine. I think Ryan's going to empty the bag and leave his corners isolated. Which in theory, you know, you don't really want to do. You're basically, you know, relying on your pressure to get home. That's what I think we're going to see. We're going to see a very aggressive look, and Goff is going to have to figure out who's coming, where are they coming from. D'Amico Ryans was very aggressive during the preseason, and he did dial up some pretty nice blitzes. So Goff will have his hands full about figuring out who's coming from where. And if you can get rid of the ball and you guys can get open on the offensive side, I think you'll be able to have some success. But again, it's just about Goff making the right decision and knowing where to go with the ball.
Yeah, right. My concern is on the right side of that O-line, especially in pass pro. Sewell struggled in pass pro, and then Big V also struggles in pass pro. So I could see the Vikings kind of loading up that right side.
Niners.
Down.
Niners.
My bad. Niners. I'm sorry.
The Niners. They don't want to be the Vikings. They're the Niners.
No, they don't want to be. I can see the Niners loading up that right side and just bringing it at them. Just going at it, like being aggressive.
I mean, just looking very quickly, I mean, you look at the Niners secondary, especially just looking at the corners right now. I mean, you could be counting on a rookie potentially, like Ambry Thomas, who was a late day two pick. Like, is he ready to start right now? And, you know, I think the Lions, you know, receiving core is definitely not great, but they have some pieces where they could maybe surprise you on a play or two. Like Terrell Williams, you know, when he's healthy, I think he's shown he could be a legitimate receiver. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been the talk all offseason for the Lions. You know, he's just been really fun. Doesn't look like a rookie from all the reports that we've heard. Khalif Raymond, you guys are probably, who the hell is Khalif Raymond? He's currently our wide receiver two right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of took the job out of camp, was supposed to be our kick and punt returner, and now he's our wide receiver too. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting, you know, because this is a position that's not a huge strength for the Niners. But, I mean, when you have a front seven like this, it definitely helps. But, you know, if Goff could have some time, you know, maybe, you know, have some one-on-one looks, you know, don't sleep on these Lions receivers on some plays. You know, Terrell Williams on one-on-one or Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, if Goff could have the time with what we presume to have a pretty good offensive line, I know it's a tough matchup, but if, you know, we can get some good reps in there, you know, you never know, man. Maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown could get open versus the corner or Terrell, whoever.
The slot. St. Brown,
yeah, he played. He's gonna play at a slot. He's gonna be our slot receiver. Just slot receiver. Yeah. But guys, I mean, I tell you this all the time. You know, I'm a former DB. I played corner. But what do I tell you guys all the time? If you have a strong front seven, what does that do to your corners?
Oh, it's gonna make them look a lot better. And that's
it's gonna make them look a lot better. It makes average guys makes them look good. Makes good guys make them look great. Yeah. But that's what a strong front seven could do. So. It's still going to be tough, regardless who they have out there.
Yeah,
hell, I have a selfish question though. How much do you guys expect T.J. Hockenson to be a part of moving the ball?
A big part.
I say selfish question because he's my tight end in my very competitive fantasy league. So, and I was kind of a believer in him. I'm like, no, this guy's going to get the ball.
He's getting 12 plus targets this game. Absolutely, like
he's going to get a million targets.
At least I think 12 is going to be minimum targets. This game, he's gonna get a lot of targets.
But you guys, Fred Warner's gonna.
I don't know about this game.
Most of the game, but I'm still, I still know that he's. I figured he was gonna be a guy that Jared Goff looked to a lot. So
I didn't say he's gonna ball out. I just say he's gonna get a lot of targets. I didn't say he's gonna ball out. I just say he's gonna get a lot of targets. You know.
Yeah, no. Overall, I mean, T.J. Hockenson is gonna be a big part of the offense. I think he's a great fantasy pickup. So for your fantasy owners, I think T.J. Hockenson, I would say, is the fourth best fantasy tight end after Kelsey, Waller, Kittle. I'm not in any order, and I'd probably put Hockett four.
That's kind of what I presumed.
I have a question for you. Say, like, Fred Warner takes care of Hockenson. Who's on Swift? Because the Lions like to use Swift a lot on routes. Would it be Greenlaw, Dre Greenlaw, or?
Yeah, it'd be Greenlaw. So if the Lions were to go empty or just split Hockenson out, Warner's going to walk over him, and he's going to guard him. And probably not a matchup you would like if you are the Lions, because I mean, I don't want to sound like a homer, but Warner is probably the best linebacker in the game. And when we're talking about just coverage players, you can't name 10 better coverage players than him. And that's not just at linebacker. So he's a former safety and he moves like it. But I do think, like, if Swift can do something out of the backfield, if he can maybe break a tackle, because Greenlaw is susceptible. I know he doesn't – his stats, he's not as good of a tackler as his stats would suggest, I would say. So if that might be something they look at, you know, getting the running backs in the passing game. And I know Swift can move a little bit, so if he can make a guy miss, and that would be a potential scenario where the Lions move the ball, because we're talking about blitzing and being aggressive. There's going to be nobody behind them, so – if you can get open and then make a guy miss after that, that's how you create explosive plays, because it will be tough to sustain drives against this defense. That's why it's all about the big play, I think, for you guys. Right.
What's the general consensus on Swift as a pass blocker? Does he do it?
He improved during the season.
I mean, but it's not his strength. We didn't see much of it last year because we had Kerryon. Kerryon was the main guy just pass blocking. I think they're gonna have that role for Williams.
Jamal Williams.
I think Jamal Williams is gonna see more of the pass blocking assignments and stuff like that on third downs and stuff.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see two running back looks as well. You could see both of them at the same time, both Swift and Jamal. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, especially like on first down or something like that, first and long, just to see what you got. I wouldn't be shocked to see both of them on the field in some certain packages. But overall, Swift's going to be your three-down back, and just maybe on third and longs when it's an obvious passing situation, you probably expect Jamal Williams to be that running back that will be out there for the Lions.
And he showed that he could do it good in the preseason, so.
Yeah, in the small sample size, because the Lions in the preseason kind of kept it very, very vanilla compared to other teams where, you know, I was surprised, like, the Kansas City Chiefs played Patrick Mahomes the whole first half, or Josh Allen got, like, a whole first half, and, like, even Brady played a lot in the preseason, where in the Lions, I mean, Jared Goff got the first game, and he played two drives, and that was it.
Yeah,
and,
total, like, nine snaps. I think he took, like, nine snaps.
Yeah, I mean, he played two drives. Offensive line, only guy that really got significant work, I would say, is Penei Sewell as far as a starter. Most of it was, you know, backups or guys not even on the team right now. So, you know, the Lions kept it really vanilla in the preseason. So it's going to be interesting because I still don't know what to really expect of this Lions team, because there's a lot of new play callers. Like Anthony Lynn, you know, maybe you get a better, you know, gist of what you're going to get with that because, you know, he's been a head coach and he's been a play caller. But, like, as far as the defense side of the ball, which we'll get into with the Lions, Aaron Glenn, first-time play caller coming from New Orleans, a former DB. You know, just a lot of new coaches everywhere. But I would say this, if we were to face our coaches 7-on-7, I'll take our side to win this matchup. Like, you guys might win this game, yeah. But our coaches.
Oh, our coaches. We'll beat them every. We had a 7-on-7 coaching, like our staff versus any other staff, it'll be a wrap.
Just a bunch of athletes over there on the sideline.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are former players. Antoine Angelo, our quarterback coach is Mark Bonneau. Yeah. We have nothing but ex-players.
That's your DC.
Yeah, what do you guys, Glenn's our DC.
What do you guys, just to switch gears, what do you got? What's your guys' feeling on the Lions defense? You know, I mean, you can spin it in terms of going up against the 49ers offense, but just in general, too, how are you guys feeling about it?
You can take this beer.
And then I'll Lions back off DL, you. I feel like the Lions DL is kind of like the strength of the defense. They're young, but they added some juice. They added some athleticism. Obviously, they have Romeo Aquara. They have Trey Flowers coming back off injury. Then they drafted Aleem McNeil, who's given Frank Ragnow some issues in training camp. Aleem McNeil is a rookie, but this dude, we call him a big fucker. Like, yes. He's a big fucker. He fucks shit up. Excuse my language, but that's what he does. And then we have another rookie, Levi Onwuzurike. He's really quick. He was a second-round pick. They had a first-round grade on him. So he's also given some issues to some offensive linemen. Then you also have your veterans in Nick Williams. He's a solid vet. He's solid against the pass, solid against the run, right? The concern with me is the secondary. They're young. Jeff Okuda, Amani Awarier, Tracy Walker, Will Harris. They've struggled also against shiftier wide receivers, and that's what Debo and Ayuk are. So that's a concern for me right now.
Yeah. Just like he said, our front – from the preseason games, our front seven looks pretty solid, and this is something that we as Lions fans haven't said in a very long time.
I would say front four.
Front four. I mean, even our linebackers are okay. I mean, the starting linebackers are okay. You got Jamie Collins.
They didn't really play,
so we don't know.
Slowly starting for us. So I mean,
he has dope hair though.
He does have nice hair.
Yeah, his hair is dope.
Nice locks.
Yeah. But. From what I saw in the preseason, because they didn't really show much, they did show that they're able to scheme the gap to the quarterback, which made it very interesting because we haven't seen that in, probably since, 2014? Yeah, where we had a really good defense.
Yeah.
So that's probably the strength of our defense right now is going to be, like Tyler said, our front four. I like our linebackers. We have a guy, a hidden gem that's not starting, but he's in our linebacker. He's in our linebacker group. 55. He's my hidden gem. I think this guy's an absolute beast. But he's a rookie. He was we didn't draft him. Fourth round pick. Yep. Yeah, Derek Barnes. Yeah. So when you see him out there, you're gonna be like, oh, that's the guy they're talking about. Yeah, this guy's a beast. But as far as our secondary, I don't have much confidence in those guys.
Yeah. Linebackers have a weird way of it just seems like a lot of mid-round linebackers, you know, whether you're talking like third to fifth, like it seems like that's kind of like a sweet spot for still getting quality linebackers. I mean, Fred Warner was a third-round pick, and, I mean, that's obviously, that's a day two pick. You're expecting a third-round pick to at least be solid, but it just seems like, the 49ers in Dre Greenlaw, they got him in like the fifth round or sixth round, if I don't remember. So it's, I don't know what it is about the linebacker spot. It's kind of a little like running backs where you can wait on it and still get some pretty quality players. So, and what's interesting, you guys mentioned the defensive front. Me and KP were texting earlier, and we said, if there was one area where the Lions could give the 49ers trouble, it was the Lions defensive line versus the 49ers offensive line. So, I don't know. KP, walk us through it, man. The 49ers offensive line is still a little bit of an unknown, too.
Yeah, I think Okwara could give Mike McGlinchey some problems, and he is not a bad player. I know a lot of people just don't know about him, but he put up some numbers last year, and I think sometimes sacks lie, but I don't think that was the case with him. So Mike McGlinchey is always – I mean, if you guys follow the draft, he's a great run blocker, susceptible against the pass.
Yeah,
he's been the exact same player in his entire career so far. Even in the preseason, you see a lot of the same bangs where he's.
But he gained weight, bro. He gained weight.
Right. best shape of his life. So you're not really seeing the type of improvements that you want. So I imagine Aaron Glenn knows this, and he blitzes more to get Okwara one-on-ones with McGlinchey, or we see Trey Flowers, because at the same time, for a guy who has gained weight, McGlinchey isn't always great against bull rushes, too. So I can see a veteran like Trey Flowers, who knows how to rush the passer, give him issues as well. The good news is, though, with adding Alex Mack at the center, there's no, like, free run-throughs or free blitzes, guys coming up the middle. So, like, sealing up the middle with that offensive line with, you know, by adding Mack in the center is going to be really big for the 49ers. I actually do think their offensive line is going to play pretty well this year. It's really all about, you know, will Mike McGlinchey hold up on the edge? And we don't know who the third down running back is, and running backs and pass protection do make a difference. So if they're not aggressive, I would say that could cause issues as well.
So a question for you guys real quickly. You know, obviously Kyle Shanahan's always known for his running schemes. His running schemes this. And then, you know, this is a new running back room for the most part. You know, obviously Raheem Mostert returning, JaMychal Hasty kind of getting more of a bigger role, I would say. But then you guys drafted Trey Sermon from Ohio State as a guy who's on my fantasy team as well. I'm high on him. Hopefully he takes, you know, a little more of a bigger role, and, you know, maybe could steal some touchdowns. It could make him a flex player. But, you know, I look at, you know, the Lions' strength potentially being on this defense. We mentioned it, their front four, and maybe stopping the run a little bit. So, you know, just interesting to see, you know, your offensive line having some question marks right now. Lines up the middle look like could be a strength. You know, what do you guys expect as far as getting a run game going week one versus the Lions?
Tell them about Raheem Mostert, Rob.
Well, that's the thing, man. And even though we saw a little bit of what Raheem Mostert could do when Trey Lance was back there, and I don't expect to see Trey a lot. I mean, he might see the field in those little packages they've talked about with him. But Raheem Mostert, man, like, I don't know if people talk about this, but he could legitimately be one of the fastest player in the NFL. I've talked to him a lot. I play Warzone with him. And he thinks he's like a 4.2 guy. And we've seen it literally on the field. I think the last 2 years, as far as the speed of somebody with the ball in their hands, he was the fastest player in the NFL the last 2 years, which it just doesn't look like it because he's got a thick build. He's a big dude, and he's got a long stride. So when you watch him run, you're not thinking he's moving that fast. And then you see everybody's angle, and it's always horrible. It's always just horrible because of how fast you're moving. So the real threat you have with him is if it's not working on the inside, and Kyle Shanahan loves this, is they start taking it to the outside, and you'll get Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk on jets across, you know, going across the room. Then they'll fake it and go down the middle just to kind of stretch you out a little bit. And Raheem can kind of just score from anywhere. That's his biggest thing. It's like he could be on his own 20-yard line and just take it to the house, and no one's going to come close. So
yeah,
it helps that George Kittle is one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL. That's another guy that you can have in there. Kyle Juszczyk, you know, they pay a ton of money to a fullback for a good reason. They got a lot of guys to make it work. And I think that was Kyle Shanahan's thought when it comes to the guys he signs on the offensive line, paying George Kittle, paying Kyle Juszczyk, is it's going to take a really, really good and stout defense to stop them from running the ball. You know, like, Kyle Shanahan's a very hard-nosed dude in every way. So I'm at the very least, you know, they're going to exhaust everything they can to run the ball before they start asking Jimmy Garoppolo to win the game for him, who is, you know, we kind of found out today that, or this week, that he's finally officially the starter. Kyle Shanahan still, like I said, stubborn, won't say it, but Jimmy Garoppolo is expected to start. So
are we just not going to hold up? Not acknowledge that Rob just mentioning that he plays Warzone with Raheem Mostert.
He said it so casually too.
Hey, once that locker room found out that I was actually pretty good at Call of Duty, things got out of control, man. Things got out of control.
That's what's up.
Rob will definitely let you know how big of a deal he is. My question for you guys is, how is the team speed for the Lions? Because we talk about Raheem Mostert, he is, in the most literal terms, he's proven to be the fastest player in the NFL. And then they have Ayuk, they have Debo, and George Kittle is very fast, not for like just a tight end alone, but just for a football player, especially a guy his size. So they have a lot of speed on the edge, and that's how they get a lot of their explosive plays, just because they're able to outrun people and they're able to get in the open field and take advantage of that. So how's the team speed on the other side of the ball for the Lions?
I'll answer this really quickly. It's getting there.
work in progress.
I mean, we were in a previous regime, which obviously I think you guys are probably familiar with the Patriot, you know, scheme. And, you know, obviously they like big guys and they like big linebackers. They like more guys. They don't really prioritize speed. It's more guys who could clog more than, you know, keep up with the running backs and tight ends. And obviously they didn't really work out really well for us. But Brad Holmes and you know, his philosophy, it seems like he values that a lot, like a speedy linebacker, like we mentioned, our hidden gem, 55 Derek Barnes. So like, we kind of get a taste of, you know, the type of players that Brad Holmes likes. He likes guys who are more athletic, more speedy. So right now, I would say it's not there, and it's not really a good test for the Lions week one just because it's so new right now, and they're gutting this whole roster out, essentially. I mean, this is a pretty new roster right now for the Lions. And I know in the NFL, there's always, you know, new NFL rosters around, but, like, the Lions gutted out, I think, half their roster. Like, that's not even over-exaggeration. Yes, 60% turnover. Like, that's not even an exaggeration. Like, they gutted over half their team right now. So, it's a work in progress. So, you know, if you guys look after the game, you're going to say, man, Tyler's an idiot. Like, this defense not fast at all. Like, I mean, they look lost. But
I don't think we're going to be saying that.
But it's getting there.
Well, I'll say this. Like, they drafted Aleem McNeil, really athletic, no tackle. The previous regime had, like, snacks in there. He's not that athletic, just a big clogger, right?
Big
they drafted Levi Onwuzurike, an athletic defensive tackle as well. Can get after the quarterback quick on his first step. They drafted Derek Barnes. He's fast. They drafted Ifeatu Melifonwu, lengthy athletic corner. So they are prioritizing athleticism, but, like, they're kind of, like, fixing the issues the previous regime had. Yeah, but what concerns me the most is the Lions secondary. The oldest dude on the secondary is, like, 25 years old, Amani Awarier. And Kyle Shanahan, like, he does all these motions, all these sweeps. I feel like these players are kind of going to be, like, thinking too much. And, like, a big run just going to happen, sort of. A couple of those. That's a big concern for me as well. Because you have all these young DBs, young linebackers that are playing, and you have all these sweeps. A guy looks that way, and then you know it. Mostert is off to the races.
That's the big thing Kyle Shanahan will do, is he'll test your assignment, like what you're supposed to be doing on every play. He will find a way to make you be somewhere else, you know, and that's just what he constantly stresses, is how sound are you going to play your defense when you have two or three things crossing your face, you know, and
he wants
you to look one way and the play's actually going the other way. So, I mean, he's the ultimate kind of X factor when it comes to the 49ers offense, is Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, I'm not sharp enough to know when he's on his game or off his game as far as a play caller goes, but just kind of, you can tell by the way that the league talks about him that for the most part, he's always on his game. And the players will say, like, we called a play in the first half so that we could do something in the second half, you know, and stuff like that. You hear that all the time. So,
yeah,
you know, if I think that if you're talking about, you know, in the same way we were talking about the 49ers defense, if you're talking about a young secondary, I think the 49ers in a position to kind of, for the very first time, we'll see how Jimmy Garoppolo plays it. I've kind of been under the impression that we might see a slightly more aggressive Jimmy Garoppolo now that he's got a Trey Lance breathing down his neck, that if we've already seen it, has no hesitation to throw the ball down the field. So Jimmy Garoppolo knows that. And obviously his reputation is he's going to check it down or throw it within, you know, 5 yards as often as he can. So, and I have a very, very high opinion of Brandon Ayuk. I think he's going to be pretty special. And then Deebo Samuel, when he's on the field, struggled with injuries, but when he's on the field, you know, he makes an impact pretty much on a drive to drive basis. So, it's, I would assume if Kyle Shanahan respects the Lions defensive line, we're probably going to see something very, you know, to the perimeters pretty often, you know, like I said, those jets, those throws out to the edges. Just try to take advantage of, like you said, a young secondary, a young linebacking core, to see if they're going to where they need to be going on any given play based on what he's shown them.
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan is, he's one of the best, I'll say one of the best coaches out there right now.
He's my favorite coach.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. He's highly respected, man. That's Tyler's favorite head coach right now. Yeah.
He's a genius, man.
He's really good, man.
I love, like, I'm not even saying this because you guys are here, but I love the San Francisco 49ers, like, play calling. Salo was my number one candidate. I wanted him to bring McDaniel's offense here. That's why I was, like, big into bringing Salo as my,
wasn't Robert Saleh at one point kind of considered the favorite for Detroit because of his past?
It seemed like, because he's a hometown guy. He went to
Michigan. They interviewed him, right?
Yeah, we interviewed him. Yeah. We assumed, if I had to predict, like, right after the, the NFL season, I would predict that Robert Saleh was our head coach. I think we were all in agreement. Like, we think Saleh's going to be the guy. But, you know, obviously they chose Campbell.
Yeah, there was a rumor, I don't know how true it was, that Saleh wanted Detroit more than Detroit wanted him. But again, I don't know how true that rumor is.
There was also a rumor. What was it? A San Francisco bakery saw someone make a Robert Sala cake. Not this again.
Please no.
Something.
No, please no. No.
What
no.
did I just hear right now?
Something about a cake. Wait, go ahead, Tyler. Tell the story.
It was fake.
It was something about a bakery in San Francisco, and Robert Sala was getting a congratulations, you're coming home, or something like that type of cake. Lions blue. So,
and the Lions fan actually called the cake.
Yeah, they call it the bakery.
We hear rumors like this all the time, like ridiculous rumors like that. Like, remember
Khalil Mack?
Remember the Khalil Mack rumor? We thought we were getting Khalil Mack, guys. You're probably
We just had a whole offseason of Mac Jones, man. We're all about all the rumors. You know, it is what it is. We had to hear about Mac Jones all offseason.
Well, let me hear your thought. Let me hear your thought. Was that upsetting you? Like, when you heard, like, Mac Jones, you're like, no, this can't be life.
Go, KP.
It didn't seem like real life, so I think Rob and I were probably one of the few people who were pushing back. And when I say push back, it's like, yeah, this probably isn't going to happen just because, realistically, you're not going to move what they did to number three to draft Mac Jones. And as we saw, like every pundit ever, national media members that is, they were trying to tell us that Mac Jones is guaranteed to go top five. He ended up going, 15 to the Patriots. Nobody traded up for him, so... It was just a bunch of hype, and I'm glad that, you know, we didn't spend – well, shoot, it seemed like we spent a lot of time talking about Mac Jones. But for the most part, I think a lot of us had a good idea that it wasn't going to happen. And still to this day, some of those same reporters are saying that Kyle Shanahan had a change of heart and that he was talked out of it. But just take the L, man. Didn't happen. Wasn't going to happen.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
The most stubborn guy in the room had a change of heart in the last
Right.
week.
Right.
Yeah.
The guy rostering Jalen Hurd was not.
I think both players went to the best place for them.
Yeah,
I think Trey Lance best spot was the Niners. I think the best spot for Mac Jones was the New England Patriots.
Malcolm, explain that really quickly, because like people listen to us, they know they know that reference by now. But like these Niners,
I've been saying that. You know, I'm a big Alabama guy, so I've been saying that forever. Like, every time Mac Jones, I was going to say, who? And then, you know, you guys know Mike Jones, the rapper guy? Yeah. Right. Back then, they didn't want me out. Yeah. So,
you
I'll
guys
just...
You actually
I'll
know who this guy is? I didn't know the hell Mike Jones
You're
was.
Too young to know Mike Jones, man. It's okay. Yeah, he doesn't know Mike Jones. It's all right. It happens.
No, I have no idea. No idea who Mike Jones is. No, but overall,
we're talking about Kyle Shanahan, and one of the things that he does, like, they pre-snap motion more than any other team in the NFL. They were right under 80% last year. Yeah. And the reason is, so you're going to get a lot of eye candy up front, but a lot of the next reason is, like, so to confuse your second level defenders, but he's also going to go. So we talked about, Pierre said, the Lions are going to be in a too high safety look. So with that motion, with what they're creating, they're getting one of your safeties to drop down. So the real point of that is not to just get numbers advantage, but now you have your defense in a single high, which creates more one-on-ones, and that's why we see the play action have so much success. So that motion carries a lot of weight for the 49ers' offensive success. And if you guys especially are green on the back end, it could cause for some busted coverages and some big plays.
Well, Kyle, you guys play the Rams, right? Like twice a year. You're going to see a similar defense with AG's, like little AG sprinkled stuff in there. It's mostly going to be similar to the Rams defense.
Gotcha. And I mean, the Rams as far on the defensive side of the ball have always played the 49ers pretty well. It's never been, for the most part, the 49ers and Rams. The 49ers, even like last year when they were missing half their players, have always found a way to get after Goff and always found a way to beat the Rams. But defensively, when it comes to the 49ers offense versus the Rams, that was never very lopsided. I mean, even I think the last time the 49ers played the Rams, or one of the last times they played them, you know, the 49ers only scored like, it was like 21 points and the Rams could only manage like 10. So it's not like the 49ers have had a ton of success against what the Rams do on defense. They've always had enough success, but it's always been the other side. It's been the 49ers defense just absolutely wreaking havoc on Jared Goff and everything he wants to do. That's usually been the, and then I don't know what it is about Jimmy Ward always played really well against Jared Goff and the Rams, but I don't know how much of that is going to translate, you know, for the good or for the bad against a completely different Lions roster, you know, that has its own strengths and weaknesses.
Let me ask a question. Has it been like, as far as that Rams matchup between the 49ers when Jared Goff was here, was it like a back and forth type thing, or was it like pretty one-sided with the Niners just
pretty one-sided. The 49ers have had the Rams number for quite some time, unless I'm, you know, just completely glossing over the losses. But it's always just
– yeah. Sean McVay is definitely a little brother to Kyle Shanahan.
Okay. So Kyle Shanahan is his father, basically?
Yes.
All right. All right. Do you put
if we're talking about the 49ers offense, like struggling against the defense, even that game where they put up like 21, a lot of that was in the first half. So they were shut down that game in the second half. So that's something to keep an eye on too. Again, well, like
we don't have that personnel like the Rams either. Like we run the similar system as them, but like
Aaron Donald ain't walking through that door.
Yeah, Aaron Donald. Jalen Ramsey is not.
Like we just don't have that personnel right now. But like the system wise, sure. Yeah, similar, sure. But Malcolm, you were asking about Jared Goff and how he looks.
Well, I was going to say, like, do you feel like you guys had Jared Goff's number, or was it more of a like a McVay's number? I was leaning towards.
I don't know, KP. What do you think, man?
I think it's all Goff. His numbers. And not even just his numbers, just the way he looks. He honestly looks terrified when he has to drop back.
Shit, I would too.
During the past two seasons, so they played four games under McVay with, like, I think you guys would agree the Rams have better offensive talent than the Lions. Jared Goff's EPA per dropback was -10.5. That is not great.
That's not good at all.
I mentioned his numbers against the blitz. Like, his passer rating went from 95.3 to 63.4 when the 49ers blitzed him in those games. So he just didn't want to hold on to the ball. I don't know if it was because of the blitz, because when, you know, once you get hit once, you're afraid it's going to happen more and more. But he just never really looked comfortable in the pocket, man. And that was the case for most of the game. And I don't want to blame McVay for that, just because it felt like Goff was kind of handcuffing him. I just think that they were trying to run the ball and establish their offense that in that direction and not have to lean on Jared Goff. But we can flip the script and say Shanahan kind of did the same thing with his quarterback, right, Rob?
Yeah, it really just has been – it really hasn't seemed like it's come down to the 49ers side of the ball. It's always seemed like it was more – it always revolved around whether or not Jared Goff – was going to be able to do his thing. And more often than not, he wasn't able to. Like I said, they weren't usually blowouts. They were usually pretty close defensive competition. So it's not like, as far as, you know, the offensive side of things, the 49ers struggled against the Rams too. But the Rams struggles with Jared Goff were just always a little bit more drastic, a little bit more heavy, just enough for the 49ers to squeak it out. If I'm looking at this right, I think the 49ers since McVay took over, I think the Rams are like 3-9, somewhere in there. Obviously, it would be an even number because of division stuff, but I'm just looking at a whole list of L's and W's. So it hasn't been great. I mean, there's been a couple times where the Rams have absolutely thumped the 49ers. And you're talking about going back to 2017 when the 49ers, like the Lions just did, had to completely rebuild their roster. And I think that the 49ers in that first year under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they were more along the lines of like 80%, 85, 90% of the roster was completely new. That tells you how bad a shape it was in to start. They just basically had to start fresh. So
you're saying there's a chance.
Well, they've done a pretty good job building it up now. It's not the same anymore. But and the one thing that the Lions do have going for them that the 49ers may fall victim to a little bit is it's a brand new coach with a brand new system with there's no film, there's no, you know, history to go off of. And even though you've got Kyle Shanahan and D'Amico Ryans, who's also a new coordinator, there's still some elements of we don't know for sure what the Lions are going to look like and what they're going to throw against the 49ers. You know, and that's one thing that the Lions get to go against a brand new defensive coordinator in D'Amico Ryans. Now, I don't expect his transition to be tough. I think that a lot of people think he's going to be good at this, and he's probably one of your head coaching candidates within the next 2 or 3 years, I'd say. But there's a lot of unknowns. What are the Lions going to do on offense? We don't know. Even no matter what you think of the talent, they still don't have a whole lot of film to go around. And then you've got it's going against a brand new defensive coordinator. So it could get weird.
Yeah, no. I mean, it is week one of the NFL season. We've seen crazy upsets in week one. Usually that's like the time of of the year where you're going to see some like stuff that's just unusual. So, I mean, it is possible. Like we mentioned, the Lions kept it really vanilla throughout the whole preseason. Like we don't really know what to even expect as fans.
Nope.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it could favor the Lions in that way because the Niners might not know what to expect because, like we mentioned, new play callers on internally on defense. Aaron Glenn's never been a play caller in the NFL. He's only been a DB's coach, and now he's a defensive coordinator. I mean, Anthony Lynn, you kind of know what you're getting a little more with him, but even him, you know, it's a new offense, new quarterback, new system, I would say, honestly, compared to what we last saw in, like, the Chargers. Like, you're not going to see what we did with Justin Herbert with Jared Goff. You're just not going to get the same opportunities as, like, you're not going to run the same type of plays, you know. So, all right. Before we get into our predictions, I got one more question about the Niners. So obviously you guys mentioned a little bit, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starting quarterback for this game, but you guys did draft Trey Lance to the third pick overall. And there has been some stuff saying that he's going to be mixed into this game plan somewhat. So obviously we don't know what to expect. I don't think you guys really know what to expect, but like if you guys had to predict, what are you guys expecting to see out of Trey Lance week one?
Oof. You take it first, man.
Maybe 15 plays. I really don't think he's going to play that much at all.
Yeah.
I think everything we saw there in the preseason was kind of overhyped, and Shanahan was just playing people like a fiddle, which he really enjoys, it seems like. But I think we might see him mixed in for like a series or two here. He might come in during – he'll probably come in during the red zone, but I don't think we're going to see like an extensive look at Trey Lance. I think that's going to be more and more as the season goes along. And obviously he has to earn his opportunities and
for sure.
If Jimmy stays healthy. But – I really don't think he's going to be a big part of the game plan. I think it's going to be a Jimmy Garoppolo type of offense. Rob, what about you?
I'm kind of the same thing, and I would just say that it wouldn't surprise me either way, but I feel like I lean towards – I really wouldn't be surprised at all if Trey Lance didn't even play. I mean, Kyle Shanahan made a comment today about, you know, he just hopes he can suit up for the game. And when you're talking about the third overall pick, a quarterback who at a moment's notice could become the starter in an instant – I don't think they're going to put him out in a situation right now where it kind of feels like a luxury. Like the 49ers have enough talent to just run an offense under Jimmy Garoppolo. They don't need the Trey Lance factor. Does it help? Of course, because we saw in the preseason that he can just do things a little bit differently. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if it was just Jimmy Garoppolo. And who knows what that gives you. We've seen great games from Jimmy Garoppolo. We've seen horrible games from Jimmy Garoppolo. It really is kind of a roll the dice type of thing. I mean, you even saw it in the preseason. Kyle Shanahan would give him one drive. He'd go like 80 yards and it would end in an interception. I mean, I think that was his last drive during the preseason. So I don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to give you. That, in essentially, is what drove the 49ers to draft Trey Lance. Is Jimmy Garoppolo, great quarterback sometimes, terrible quarterback sometimes, and that's the inconsistency you can't really have. And then you mesh that with the injuries. So I it wouldn't surprise me at all, back to your question, if we don't see Trey Lance at all. And if we do, it might not. I don't think it's necessarily something that defines the game type of deal.
Okay. All right. Let's get into these predictions. I'm going to kick it off to you, Pierre. What is the spread looking like at Ford Field week one? I mean, are the Lions favorites to win this game? Or is it a close spread? Like, what are we looking at right now?
Why would you even ask that?
The Lions are not favored. Actually, the Niners are favored by 7.5 points. But
as a home team.
Don't they usually give the home team like immediately 3 points?
Yes. We're the Lions. You know this, man. You know
that. I know. I'm just because so it's really like 10 points.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to say that. Yeah. I'm taking the Lions plus 7.5.
Okay. So
the reason why, it's week one and crazy shit happens in week one. Lions are home. The crowd is there. Dan Campbell's first game. I think the crowd's going to be like going crazy. I have the Lions winning a close one, 24-21.
Oh, you have us winning outright. I thought you just had us covering the spread. You have us winning outright.
Yeah, I do.
Sheesh. Okay, I don't even think you need a bold prediction. That's bold enough for me. I mean, if you have one, go ahead. But like, I mean, that's bold enough.
Oh, the bold prediction is Goff goes for 350 yards.
Oh my goodness.
Ooh. Love it. Ooh. Love it.
This is the Kool Aid around. Like, oh, what is man. Going?
That's bold, dude. You said bold, so I gave you something bold.
Yeah, bold, dude. That is out winning outright. God. Okay. All right. Let's go to Rob. Rob, what do you got here?
I think the 49ers. If it were a betting man, I'd take the over. I think that they are going to do the damn thing. As of right now, they're healthy. So I'm taking this 49ers team. And that's not a thing against the Lions. There are very few NFL teams that I would take over the 49ers if they're completely healthy. You know, I expect them, if they're, you know, all on the up and up, to make a playoff run. That's just the team they are when they're healthy right now. I'll take the 49ers in the over. I don't know if I had to go score. I hate guessing scores. I suck at it. Maybe like a 35-17, something along those lines. Okay. You know, I don't. Right. That's kind of where I'd go with that. The 49ers rarely score under, what is it, like 20-something points, KP? Like, they just don't do that very often, so.
35-17, that's an ass whooping. Yeah. That's a beatdown.
Yeah. Hey, when we jumped on here, y'all acted like the 49ers are going to whip that ass. So I'm just kind of...
It's definitely possible, man. So I ain't putting it past nobody, man.
I am a big Niners guy this year. They drafted my guy, Trey Lance. And we actually made our Blue Wire predictions today. I had the Niners making the Super Bowl. So I had Chiefs versus Niners, the rematch from 2 years ago. But I took the Chiefs to win the game. So, I mean, just some early predictions, if that means anything.
You never go wrong picking the Chiefs in anything, man.
No, you can't. I mean, it's just... That team got better, which, sure. Okay, but Malcolm, what do you got here? What's the score and 7.5 spread? Are the Lions covering the spread, or do you got the, you know, what do you got here?
I don't have it 7.5 as far as the spread, to be honest with you. It's tough, man, because if this was any other week, I would say, huh, we got no chance. But the thing is, with this team right here, this Detroit Lions team, because there's not much film out there and there's so much unknown, and I don't think they're gonna know, the Niners are gonna know what we're gonna throw at them. I think we could surprise them. So I actually do have the Lions winning this game by an upset.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a close game though. I have it 21-17.
Honest, I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners just kill us either. I think it's going to be close, or it's going to be a blowout.
Exactly what Pierre said. Either going to be a close game, or we're going to be like, oh, we shocked, you know, we made an upset. Or it's going to be a complete beatdown. We're like, all right, we've seen this coming. It's a young team. Yada, 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 you know?
I could just imagine the Lions fan base if they somehow won this game. It's gonna be something.
It's gonna be like, you think it's gonna be like the past where we're like, oh, we're going to Super Bowl, and then
it's
like,
gonna be, you're gonna get the 10-7 crowd is gonna be more stronger than ever.
I just have it like that because I think it's gonna be the element of surprise. I don't think the Niners have like much film on the Lions and what they're gonna do. So that's the reason why I have it.
All right, KP, what do you got here? He's on mute.
Yeah, you're on mute, KP. You see? You were already picking the Lions, so I was playing.
31-13. Take the over.
That was worse than him, Rob.
The points.
Take the over.
This is personal against the Lions and all Lions fans.
Personal? What?
Speed is an issue, and I think that's going to be the difference, as will explosive plays, as will just, you know, typical coverage bust. So I agree with you guys when you say, if the Lions do win the game, it'll be because it's a low-scoring, sloppy, just a real week one type of game. That is not going to happen. Jared Goff is the quarterback, and all evidence that we have, when Goff is under center, he no longer has McVay to protect him. I just don't think it's going to go well. And then we talk about Sewell just being the rookie, and Bosa and Ford are going to be licking their chops. I don't think what we see from Sewell on Sunday is going to be who he is in like week 8, week 12, as the season goes along. So it's 100%. Going to be a work in progress, and this is not the defensive line that you want to have a work in progress type of games for. So I think when you combine all of that and you combine the inexperience just on the defensive side of the ball, I think that's where we see, Kyle Shanahan just kind of show out, you know, just kind of prove, hey, we are good and we want people to know. And then we have, you know, the first time defense coordinator as well. And they are healthy right now on that side of the ball. So I think we see a statement type of game from the 49ers, 31-13, and I am pretty confident in that.
Come on, KP, can you give us like 17 points? At least give us 20. Give us 20.
The issue with that is, and I talk about, you know, sustaining drives, it's so tough to do against this defense, man.
I know.
Like, Patrick Mahomes struggled to do that. And of course, this isn't the same 2019 defense, but, you know, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, like all these guys, they really don't move the ball well unless you have those big type of plays. And I don't know where those come from unless the 49ers week one are sloppy tackling or just have, you know, penalties, that sort of thing. Because they're a really, really good tackling team. I believe they had the fewest missed tackles last year. So if you don't have the type of playmakers on offense, it's really not, you know, a defense that you're going to have success against. So that's where my logic is coming from. I think this is just not a good matchup for Detroit.
So there's no chance of us at least getting 17? I'm just messing with you, man.
Don't butt it. Yeah, I was going to say, no.
No, man. You just like when you explain the strength of your team, it's just like the complete opposite of ours. Like, yeah. Good tackling, smart football plays. Like, yeah. Maybe
we haven't seen that in a long time.
As the season goes on, I think that could progress, obviously. But there's just too many new pieces on this team overall. Like the defense, a lot of debuts. Like our starting nickel corner is an undrafted kid, AJ Parker, and.
Shout out to AJ Parker.
He earned that spot, made the roster. Congratulations. But, you know, this is just not the play call I want to verse week one. I mean, you got a lot of inexperienced guys. I really even consider this like Jeff Okuda's first year in the NFL because I really don't count what happened last year. Because last year was just such a crappy year for him and different system. So this is a new year for him. I would say this is like his rookie season, honestly. So you got a lot of, you know, new players overall. So... I also have the Niners covering the spread, and I also have them winning pretty big, 28-14. For the sake of me and Pierre, because we're actually attending the game, I want to make my money's worth for this ticket, and like, you know, I want to get something out of it, something progressive. So
you too, Tyler. You gonna give us at least 17 points?
Everybody, give me my 17 points, damn it!
I mean, we don't even, our kicker right now is Austin Cyber. I mean, if we had Prater, I'd maybe give the 17. But
I forgot about that. Problem. That's not good. That's not
a
good.
We have
look.
A kicking problem too right now. So yeah. Like, we didn't really talk about that. Shoot. But we have a kicking problem.
Wasn't there
problem.
A point where the Lions had no kicker? Was that the Lions?
Yeah
that was us. Our fit no kicker made a 53.
Yeah, no kicker.
Original 53. That's how we roll around here.
Yeah. Hey, man, go for two. Go for two. There's plenty of analytics to back that up. Just go for two.
Cancel a joke. You can go for
have
two.
Somebody else just boot the kickoff. Do what they can do.
Yeah. So I got 28-14. As far as a bold prediction, sheesh. I'll say Trey Lance comes into the game and throws two passing, or he'll have two touchdowns overall. So maybe like a rushing aspect or a passing touchdown. So I think Trey Lance gets involved somewhat in this game, and he has two touchdowns.
Okay. So,
I like it.
Yes.
Wait, is it my turn?
Yeah, go ahead. You guys go.
Okay. Brandon Ayuk still gives Jeff Okuda a rough start to his second year.
That's not bold.
75 and two bold. Touchdowns for Brandon Ayuk.
That's not bold.
That's bold. 175 that's bold. Touchdowns.
But who's it on?
I don't care.
Whoever you want. Detroit. It's on Detroit.
It's on Jeff Okuda. Cool. That's very possible. God damn it.
That's very possible. As you were saying, not bold. I was going to say 150, but you kept yelling, I'm not bold, so I just changed 175.
He changed it on the fly. That's awesome.
Hey, no, Okuda has been. Like, that's what they've been saying about him. So we'll see how he looks.
AP, what's your bold prediction here?
I think Fred Warner has an interception and a sack in the same game. Is that bold? Is that?
I'll give it to you because you're a guest and like, you know, we're thing, but usually no, we wouldn't give that to you. But I'll give that.
Yeah, we wouldn't give that because that's something that's probably gonna most likely happen.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you mentioned it. Jared Goff struggles versus this defense. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. So, Malcolm, what's your bold prediction? You don't have one either.
I'll say
his bold prediction is the Lions score 17.
17 points. Let's go, man.
Let's go ahead. Us winning too.
I'll say Swift, DeAndre Swift, scores all of our touchdowns this game.
Okay. Ooh, I like that a lot.
My bold one would be, I mean, I don't know everything that I say. I feel like because it's happened, so it's not really like bold. Like I was gonna say most has like an 80 plus yard touchdown, but he did that in the first two games last year. So,
okay, let's say, how about we say this? How about we say Mosher has two 80 yard touchdowns?
Man, I'm not going to argue with that.
That's bold, right? There we go. Yeah. I like it.
This was a lot more depressing than I thought it was going to be. I thought we were going to have a good time, just talk some football. You know, maybe the Lions surprise some people, but It just didn't really end up going that way.
Pierre, yeah. Do you have another one? Like, your score was bold, but do you have another one?
You want another bold prediction? Jimmy G throws 4 picks.
Woo! Jeez. Hey, man.
Yes.
I didn't even inhale when you said that, bro.
Actually, in practice, that happens all the time.
That is true. I would read about that.
Would you guys be shocked by the end of the game if you combine the quarterback stats, there's 7+ interceptions? That wouldn't shock me.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
Come on.
Yeah, the hell that would shock me.
That's gonna be
hell?
Brutal, 7? Man.
That means one quarterback has to throw 4, one has to throw 3. What the hell?
I mean, you guys were expecting throw 5? A defensive battle, so I mean, you know.
I think maybe both coaches would shut it down before we got there.
See a lot of Trey.
We'll see a lot of running.
Yes. All right. Well, I would love to say this was fun. It was fun. I mean,
this is great.
It was fun. But a lot of shit talking to our Lions, which, you know, it's going to be expected when we do more of these throughout the season.
I thought I was pretty admirable.
You were great, man.
You guys were fair. I'm not
going to apologize for that, by the way.
even though KP didn't want to give us the 17 points, but it's all right.
Still on.
It's all good.
Overall, I'm just excited the NFL season's back, obviously. Like, you know, even though the Lions are rebuilding the season and the win-loss expectation is not really high this year for the Lions, but I'm just excited. We got NFL football back, real meaningful NFL football back this week. Lions, Niners, week 1, Ford Field. I'm just excited because last year, obviously, we didn't get to attend games last year because COVID, and, you know, we had 0% fans outside of friends and family. So I'm excited, man. You know, it's going to be a packed house at Ford Field, and me and Peter are going to be in attendance for that game, so I can't wait. And, you know, with that being said, hope you guys enjoyed this collab with the Striking Gold podcast. Go check them out if you guys are a Niners fan, obviously, and if you guys are just interested in keeping up with the Niners this season. Like, I'm going to be keeping up with you guys because I'm interested to see how Trey Lance does this year. So I want to hear you guys' thoughts and analysis throughout the season. And obviously, if you guys are a Niners fan and you guys are listening to us, you know, give us some sympathy. You know, we're not expecting much from this Lions season. Just listen to us. I mean, it will take that instead of the wins losses right now. So,
well, if I can, before we sign off, if I could leave you with some positivity.
Okay, let's hear it.
The 49ers were in 2017. They were 6-10. They were a hard 6-10. You know, they could have been worse. And within 2 years of going 6-10, being the dumpster of the division, and brand new head coach, brand new GM, they were in the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not going to say that's common. But it definitely can happen. You know, like, we'll see what's going on over there in Detroit. Obviously, they know that they need to turn things around. But things can change really, 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 really quickly in the NFL. We see worst to first teams happen all the time. Oh, yeah. So, you know, if that's – we're only a few years removed from the Niners being absolutely terrible. So, you know, just a little bit of positivity for Detroit fans. It could turn around quick.
Yeah, in our pod, too.
The draft class was very good for the Lions, too. If you look at the 49ers 2017 roster, a lot of practice squad players, a lot of guys who you would think should not be on an NFL field. It's night and day today, but they did that by bringing in young talent and developing young talent. So the fourth-round pick that you guys are talking about, one of my buddies, Justice Mosqueda, who writes for the Packers, he loved him during the draft process, and he's been hyping him up all preseason. So getting athletes on the defensive side of the ball works. Who knew? So it sounds like you have a GM that understands what he's doing. So I would say that is something to look forward to.
Yeah, you know, I think overall is our podcast, too. Like, we keep it pretty optimistic for, like, the whole long term of this, you know, what the Lions are trying to build. But, you know, we're just expecting a pretty rough year. And you guys mentioned it, too. It wasn't a good year for you guys, year one. And, like, there's going to be growing pains. And that's what we expect. And, like, this is just not a good matchup for the Lions this week. And it's just – that's why I took the Niners to cover, and I took them to cover pretty big.
Did you see that? Did you guys see that speech from Jerry Jones in the first episode of Hard Knocks? I don't know if you guys are watching it.
I didn't.
Where he talks about just how much how it's a better world to be naive and to be positive. And, like, it really spoke to me. I was like, man, there's something to be said in that. Like, you might not be realistic, you might not be negative, but if you can find a way to be positive, it's just a happier way to go about your business. So right, anyway. I would definitely say that's a way to go about it, because you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, take your wins, man. Take your wins when you can. If you guys have the young players developing, if you see positive signs from them, those are wins, because those will add up 2 years down the line.
Yeah, that's what we talked about in the show. We don't really care about the wins or losses. We just want to see players like week one, they're like not that good, but in week eight, week nine, they're developing. They're coming along. That's what we want to see. Yeah. So.
Okay. Love it.
Well, again, you know, we just got a nice speech from some Niner guys giving us some hope for the Lions fan base. Hey,
we're both coaches, man. We're all about speeches. We're all about speeches.
Oh, man, it hit me. So you guys gave me some optimism going forward now. You know what? The Lions are going to win this game now. I'm feeling
optimistic. Stop.
All right. All right, guys. We're out. Peace. Hope you guys all enjoyed.
All right, guys. I'm out. Peace.
Thank you.